Okay, we are now joined by the race winner of the 22nd annual Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube, and that's the driver of the number 22 Pennzoil Ford for Team Penske, Joey Logano. We'll open the floor for questions. We'll start with Dominic, and then we'll go to Jerry.
Oh, I don't have another microphone. Sorry, excuse me, Tom.
Yep. Right
behind.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Dominic Cotter going with the Racing Experts. Just want to get your thoughts on tying Terry Labonte on the all-time wins list. Is that something you take a look at, or just, I guess, gather your thoughts on tying the two-time champion there?
Yeah, it's an amazing accomplishment. Texas Terry, man, that was I remember growing up and I had a Terry Labonte diecast, but they're like, remember they made the bigger ones? I had one, and I thought that was really cool. I was always about the Frosted Flakes, man. So that was really neat to think that I'm even, you know, on the same stage that he raced at one point. And I didn't get raced against him a whole bunch, but it is an amazing accomplishment. Something that I look at actually quite frequently to see where you stack up between all these great racers. So that is something I pay attention to. It's an honor to be tied with him now, and try to get another one. Keep going. The good thing is I got quite a few more races left in me, so hopefully we can keep grabbing them and keep moving up there. I'm not sure I'll get to the top of it, but I can keep trying to chip away at it and keep moving up. That's pretty cool.
We'll go next to Jerry, then to Mark, then to David.
Texas Jerry from Jordan, kickingthetires.net.
Very good. Very good. Number one dad joke so far. Keep going.
You're in car. After the race, you were deciding on where to do your burnout. I heard them say, welcome to the playoffs. But you were debating on whether or not to tear up the landscaping out there with the Pennzoil logo.
Oh, there is no debate. I was going to tear up the landscaping here. The talk was last night, we had a big Pennzoil dinner, and the talk was that I was going to do some donuts and then the grass at the end of the race. At the end of the race, not during the race. And so to be able to do that was super cool. Great photo op, but I'm all about the Big Smoky burnout. So I said, well, I got to do the Big Smoky burnout first. And I also didn't want to go through the grass and have the splitter dig in and completely destroy everything and go flipping. I just saw it going wrong in my mind. So I said, I'm going to do a cool burnout, which I thought was super cool. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I got dizzy, and that was neat. And then I made a couple of donuts in the grass. That was cool. You know, I got to go drifting with Vaughn for a while, I've done it for the last few years here, but just over time with that cup car that we've made as a drift car. And so I'm getting good at it. I'm getting good at the burnout, so I gotta show my skills off a little bit when we win.
Mark Carroll, PRN. Joey, talk about the end of the race with you and Brad. At one point, you jumped out, looked like you had things well in hand, and then all of a sudden, you know, he crawled back into the picture and almost was able to do the slide job there at the end.
Yeah, that was more intense than I wanted it to be. There's been plenty of times here where we've led a lot of laps, and by the stats, this is probably our best racetrack or close to it, and we've never won. And that's the most important stat to have. And usually something happens the last run, and Brad gets a little better, and for some reason his last pit stop, they make a good change, and he becomes the fastest car and he wins. And he's done that here plenty of times. And I looked in the mirror, I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening again. I can't believe it. And he's able to get by me. And I was like, oh, I hope this didn't happen. I can keep trying to get in front of him again, and was able to get a run on a lap car and be able to work down into the corner and be able to clear him. But I burnt my tires off so bad trying to get back in front of him that I was just working so hard inside the car trying to maintain the gap. And I was in a good shape, and then I caught a lap car, and he went up into the top lane, which is where I was running, and I fouled him right in there, and I was like, oh no. And I just lost a ton of time, and then brought Brad close enough to where he can catch a draft off of me to close up the rest of the gap. And I thought, man, good thing this thing's 400 miles. I just told the Pennzoil people, let's not make this race any longer. That was just the right length. 405 would have been a little bit too long. So it is cool, though. I remember sitting up here on the stage when they announced Pennzoil was going to be the sponsor for this race, and how important it was for me to win this thing. So it's cool to be able to deliver for them.
Go next to David, and then to Tom, and then to Davey.
David Swope of the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Joey, how surprised are you that Mustang came along so quickly and was able to have so much success with three races in? Your team's got two victories, and Camaro had so much struggle. Do you think that has a lot to do with the work that was done on the aero package, or what do you attribute that to?
Teamwork. Probably the quick answer. The way the four teams are able to work together, way Ford engineers are able to communicate and be able to build what we think is best. And, you know, the timing of it was great. You know, when you think the other manufacturers, they made their changes during just a normal, you know, into the next season where there wasn't many rules changes. But we made it when there was a big rules change coming. And I like to say some of that was maybe a little bit of luck, but maybe not. But, you know, everyone's going through a learning curve right now. And so if there's a time to do it, now's the time, because we had to redo everything we had anyway. So that seems to, like, that's paying dividends for us now.
Hi, Joey. Tom Zaleski, Iron County Today. Couple of things. Part one, how much did lap traffic play into this package and how you were trying to keep clean air and keep everybody behind you? And two, were you having any flashbacks with Kyle from 2 years ago as he was coming in the rearview mirror, especially in the early going?
No, I just think about what's going on the windshield a lot of times. That's most important to me. But, you know, there towards the end, you know, the way this drafting package, or whatever you want to call it, this rules, it's intense. You can't get away. You're constantly looking around. You're mentally, I'm exhausted right now. It's just so much going on in the race, and you're trying to, you know, draft on the straightaways and try to get in the right gap. And you're trying to keep cars from being able to draft from you. You're working lap traffic as best as possible. You know, you're getting into corners and you're working different lanes. You know, it's just, there's so much strategy that goes into driving these race cars now, that, you know, I thought it was entertaining as can be. I don't really know what to say if you don't like that. That was, you know, it's not very often where you're going to have a green flag run that long and have a finish that close between three cars. That's something, I tell you what. So, you know, I'd say it's a big thumbs up for the sport. You know, I'm proud to be a part of that. And, you know, something that it'll be interesting as the year goes, and as, you know, these teams keep evolving and changing the their setups and things like that. But, you know, so far, I mean, that's, you know, Atlanta was a good race. This was a great race. You know, it proves that we don't have to have big crashes to have a good race. You know, I think that was something that was pretty cool to see today.
Go next to Davey, then to Justin, and back up front.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. So you obviously were in clean air at the end, but you were also in the middle of the pack throughout the race. How big of a difference is it between having clean air and being in the dirty air? How does your car handle differently, and is the difference really that pronounced where you can't just get around somebody easily?
I mean, everything's it's crazy in traffic. You know, when you're in the lead, you're able to be pretty much wide open, especially the first few laps. You're definitely able to be wide open, and that's why you saw, you know, on the restarts, cars aren't able to drive away from each other because the leader doesn't really have an advantage. You know, the second place car can be wide open behind him, plus he has a draft to keep him close. So you can't get away until 15, 20 laps when you start to lift. And that's when it seems like you're able to, you know, maybe start to gap a little bit, which it didn't happen at the end. But, you know, that's why those restarts were so intense, where you had so many cars in line. And it's like, what lane do I go to? And you're just trying to strategically put yourself in the right spot to play offense, but also know that try to not lose a spot. You know, that was a tough part. And you're relying on the information your spotter gives you. You're relying on, you know, just the information that you know about your car and maximizing that.
Justin Schuler, Speedway Media. Two questions. One, to kind of expand on that, was there clear advantage being out front versus kind of being in the middle of the pack?
No clear advantage.
Cool.
Maybe the other way around. So that's cool. You know, that's good. Yeah, it was. You know, the way racing's been there for a while, it's you know, the leader would check out. You know, after three laps here, you know, the leader would be, you have a huge advantage. And now it's, you know, it's for what it is right now. You know, things will change when we get back here and as we go through the season. But for now, the races have been great. The leaders can't get away. You know, and yeah, those old tires moving around the racetrack. You know, we're able to run the wall like that in three and four. Super cool.
And secondly, did you feel that this was more of a mental race versus a physical race, you know, maybe comparing to last year's?
It got physical a couple times, I will say that. But at least I was on the racetrack and not on pit road afterwards and been there. that's funny. Anyways, yeah, it is a mental race for sure because a lot of times the decision of where you go in the corner depends on who's around you and where the car in front of you went or the car behind you went. So you're constantly looking around, just knowing your surroundings. It's important.
Well, yeah, you're great at plate races, so it seemed like, you know, a lot of drafting was manipulated throughout the race.
Yep. Yeah, it was. It was. There's a lot of different things going on.
From? Hi, Anna Michelle Johnson with KPVM TV. I was wondering what your complete honest opinion of the package was. The new package for this race.
Yeah, I just told you. I think it's great. I thought the racing was awesome. I thought, you know, I don't really know what else to give you if you didn't like it. The racing's close. There's side by side. There's, you know, aggressive blocks and big moves and bumping and banging. That's NASCAR, baby. I don't really know what else to tell you.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. When Kurt was out front and you're running behind Harvick, you know, Kurt was in a different situation because his tires weren't as fresh as yours, or Kevin's. And, you know, what was going on there? Because to me, that looked a lot like what was going on in the Xfinity race with Kyle and Reddick and Bell. And we saw some really close racing. And I'll ask my second question when you finish.
Yeah. I mean, there's like I said, there's a lot going on there. You know, the cars are definitely, you know, when you're by yourself, they're pretty simple. And when you get in traffic, there's a lot of things going on. And Kurt was able to, you know, have a good strategy move, you know, where they pitted late in the end of the second stage and stayed out. And you know, I was surprised he stayed up there as long as he did.
Top five out of it. So, you know, you think that's something that we'll see with this package. If the track, say the track is smooth like this and not as abrasive,
on the tire.
California or in Atlanta.
Yeah, so it may be different when we go to other racetracks. But here, I thought that was a awesome move by the race team to be able to do that. I thought we were going to eat them up a little quicker than what we did. But, you know, that clean air, the cars handle so much better that tires don't really do much for you. You know, you're going slower because you don't get a draft and you have way more grip. So tires really didn't mean much if you have the lead. Now you put that car on old tires and you place him 10th, he's going to get eaten up. You know, that was the game. But they did that to get the lead. Great strategy move that really gained them a lot of spots and a great finish.
And you know, let's from our perspective, from observations, the first stage wasn't all that great, but by the final stage, you guys were all kind of figuring out and getting it together. You really found it exciting. The people who were here watching it found it exciting. How do we translate that to the fans sitting at home who are on Twitter complaining right now?
Who's complaining?
Okay,
here's the thing. People love to complain. You want to get me going? Here we go. People love to talk about negative stories, and I don't know why. I don't understand it. There's a lot of positive going on in our world, and I'm not just talking about NASCAR racing, but there's plenty of good things that happen, and every time we turn on the news, I'm sick of seeing negative stories because there's all these good stories that get overshadowed by someone writing a negative story or someone getting on Twitter and being all big and bad and writing something that makes them feel better because they want something different. Sometimes those people know what they want. That's my opinion. You know, I think when I look at, you know, where we are as a sport, there's a lot of great things coming down the pipeline for us. There's a lot of great decisions that are being made. There's a lot of collaboration of race teams and drivers and sponsors and racetracks. Everyone's working together, TV partners, media, all you guys. We're all working together, and there's a lot of good things happening because we're working together. And I think the fans are going to benefit from that. You know, I thought, I don't know what else to tell you, man. When you have cars racing side by side to the start finish line after how many laps was that last run? A long run, 100 laps ish. 100 laps, yeah. What else you want? I don't know. They're just trolls on Twitter, man. That's what they are.
Joey, congratulations. Mark Anthony DiBello, DPC Inc. One of our high-powered partners does data, and we also work with William Hill, who does data. And I want to get your opinion from a driver's perspective. We had the over-under listed for cautions at 6.5. Our data partner thought it would be a lot less. We also have information that if NASCAR were to do this, they would increase their bottom line by 10%, including their ratings in the fall when you're up against the all-important NFL. Question, your opinion. What if NASCAR were to go to four stages? Would it be more entertaining, and what's your opinion from a driver's perspective?
Woo. Boy, that's some serious stats there. That's pretty good. I mean, I would have thought there had been more wrecks today. I would have said that there had definitely been more crashes as the cars were closer and all that. And you know, somehow there wasn't. Drivers are really good. You know, I think that's one part of it. These drivers and these stock cars are, I mean, they're best in the country, man. So there's not many mistakes, not many crashes. They're able to control the cars at least. So I guess that's one piece of that. If they're at another stage, I don't know. I mean, we do that the Coke 600, right? We have another stage in that. You know, because we have an extra 100 miles and the race is really long, so it makes sense when you have 600 miles. But, you know, I don't think the racing gets better with another stage. You know, the strategy of the race is kind of cool because you have these stages, you know, that are starting the beginning and you're racing to those stages, and that's one thing. And then it's like, okay, we're done with the second stage. You take a deep breath and you say, okay, now it's not about stage racing. It's about winning the race. And your strategy changes once again on how you get yourself there. Those cautions are cool, though, because you see, like, Kurt, you know, they knew the caution was coming, and that's why they pulled the strategy that they did, which ultimately gave them a good finish. I don't think another stage really changes that very much.
Okay, well, you addressed strategy, but you like what you said about positive and entertaining and exciting. As a driver, would you find it personally exciting, do you think?
If there's another stage?
Yeah.
I find everything exciting. I'm a pumped up person, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think we need to. I really don't. I think I love that we introduced stage racing. I think it's great. I think the two stages is right. I think it breaks up the race. It gives it natural, you know, TV breaks and ability, you know, time for people that they know the caution's coming out. They can go and get a hamburger or whatever they want. Get a nice cold Coca-Cola maybe. And so that's good. That part's good. And there's points scored during an event, which we didn't have before. And no other sport was like that. So now we have points scored during an event. That's cool. But I really don't think we need another one. I think it's exciting the way it is.
Any additional questions for Joey? Joey, congratulations on the victory and good luck next week in Phoenix.
Cool. Thank you, guys.